Set your heart and your mind to meditate on what it's all about. I have been, as you have been, this week shopping, Ontario Mills Mall, parking. I thank God so much that I'm going to heaven, that is the closest thing to hell as that I'll experience. Yet the Lord knows the exercise I need to park a mile away, from the mall, to walk in there. Then having gotten in, to be focused, to go and gather gifts. And the whole intent is to get gifts for someone else with the hope that they're going to love what you've gotten. It's a shot in the dark, really. Can they use it? Will it fit? Can I take it back? Tonight we gather. In fact, we have gathered before. Maybe all of our lives we've gathered. Under the trappings, under the umbrella, under the announcement of Christmas. It's celebrated around the world. It has been for millenniums. The coming into the world of Jesus Christ. It is important that we recognize, even in the midst of this rush hour that we're living in, as I was in the mall, I looked, realizing the glazed look on people's faces. Did you see them? Maybe you said, "I saw you, Jack." Well, I saw you too. Glazed looks. Almost as though they were programmed. Bags in hand, walking, walking, walking. Next store, in and out, they would go. And maybe God was speaking to my heart, maybe not. I don't know. But just the thought came into my mind, what if I stood up on this planter here? And I thought this in the mall with bags in hand. And held them up. And said, "Excuse me, everyone." Now, most people, would have just kept walking. I would have shouted again, "Excuse me, please. I've got something to say." Now, by that time, they may think, as I hold the bags, we have a terrorist loose in the mall. But maybe at that point, and I thought this in the mall, people's eyes glazed over with overstimulation, overspending perhaps, just overindulgence, over everything, the hype, the glitz, the marketeering of it all. I wanted to shout to the world, "I want you to have a Merry Christmas and Happy Birthday, Jesus." I think I would have had everyone in the mall say amen to Merry Christmas. But I heard on the news this week that the two most volatile words you can say right now in American politics, did you hear it? Is Jesus Christ. Did you know that Governor George Bush was just asked recently, who is the most influential person? Who has been the most influential person in your life? Now, he may have just shot his chances for the presidency. Did you hear what he said? Jesus Christ. And he... he is in trouble for it right now. You cannot mention the name of Jesus without getting a response. If you're shy, just try it at the restaurant in prayer. Just bow your head. And you don't even have to utter the words. But when you come to the end of your prayer, you can say, "In Jesus' name, amen." And that'll get people, "Is that legal? Can we do this?" Listen, the meaning of Christmas is not the buying of gifts and the receiving of gifts. It's the gift that was purchased by God that has set the standard and the very tradition. Listen, how many of you have prepared a gift for somebody? Raise your hand. You're going to give a gift. Did you hear what I said? Are you a bunch of stingy... How many of you got a gift for someone else? Maybe you should have gotten a hearing aid or something. I don't know. It's good to see your hand there the second time. The very act of giving gifts one to another, did you know that's based upon Jesus Christ being sent into the world? Did you know that? You certainly don't want to be a hypocrite about it. You want to practice Christmas in all of the accuracy and all of the requirement and in all of the moral uprightness that you would expect out of somebody. So you don't want to be a hypocrite about it. The giving of a gift is because God gave His Son. Don't forget it. Don't let Budweiser change that on the TV for you. Don't let, you know, Adidas shoe sales skew that view from your eyes. Don't let the latest car sale go without you really coming to the fact of the matter is that the reason why there's a Christmas, the reason why there's a wreath is because He wore one on His head on the cross, for one thing. And the second thing is that God gave His Son to the earth. And that's not something that you can really, honestly, listen, choose to believe in or not. Did you hear what I said? It's something that you cannot choose to believe in or not. The fact is, the scientific fact is, Jesus Christ came into the world. The issue is, will you accept the gift or reject the gift? You see, if you're honest, you do believe that the gift came into the world. Oh yeah, people wear crosses, people use His name, the greatest name in all of the earth and all the universe. In fact, I love the wonderful testimony of astronaut James Irwin, who left this earth an unbelieving scientist. Did you know that? Who was catapulted out into space in the Apollo mission project. And as his capsule turned around and he saw Earth for the first time, he gave his heart to Jesus Christ in that Apollo capsule. And he said, only God could have created the world. And that man went on to be a wonderful promoter of Christ and His coming to the earth. The issue is, not should I believe, the issue is, am I accepting Christ tonight or rejecting Christ tonight? In Luke's gospel, I'll read it, you can listen. It says, very importantly, concerning this Christmas, concerning this celebration that we want to be accurate about, understanding the message, in Luke 2, verse 6, there Luke tells us, so it was that as the days were completed for Mary to give birth, she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all peoples, generations upon generations, i.e., example given, you here tonight, us. For there is born to you this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign for you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and singing or saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And so it was when the angels had gone away from them back up into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, I would have loved to have seen their faces. Let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which is told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things in her heart and pondered them. And then the shepherds returned, listen, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and what was told unto them. Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel to appear. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit of God that he would not see death before the Lord's Christ had come. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he, Simeon, took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all nations, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled, Joseph and Mary, that is, marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, he must have turned in her direction and said, "Now listen, behold, this child, he is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign which shall be spoken against." There are certain things here before us that are definitely things for certain. Mary's pregnant. Ladies, if you've ever been pregnant, I can only tell from secondhand experience, but when you're pregnant, sometime before that ninth month is up, you're going to be having that baby. One way or another, that child is coming out. That is certain. Mary was pregnant. The Bible says that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit of God. That child that dwelt within her was the holy thing of God. The prophet Isaiah says, "Behold, 743 years before Mary giving birth to Jesus, the prophet said, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel,' which being translated means God is among us." God has come. This is no religion. Do you understand? This is not a religion. You may be in a Christian church here tonight, but listen, Christianity will not save you. Jesus Christ saves you. The child Jesus, who was God come to earth in human flesh, according to the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only glorified, preeminent Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This Jesus. The Bible says in Luke 2:6, "So it was that the days were completed for her to give birth." That baby was coming. There's no doubt about it. And by the way, we sing the song, "O Silent Night." O Silent Night. It was not a silent night. Angels were singing. One angel shows up and says, "Shepherds, born today in the city of David, Christ the Savior." And as he's telling the story, it's as though the heavens rip open and all the angels just couldn't stand. They had to peel it back and start singing songs of praise. Silent night, anywhere but the fields of Bethlehem. God came into the world. What did the shepherds do? I don't know about you. You might say, well, they're pretty desperate. They're shepherds. It says that they went back returning, speaking of what God had shown them and what they had heard, what they had seen, and they were rejoicing. Were they skipping? Were they jumping? I don't know. But they were rejoicing. And the scripture tells us that they went and told as it is recorded. They announced the news. You've heard the news. You have heard the news of the gospel of God. Jesus Christ came to earth from heaven to be born of a woman. The Bible says at the right time, God sent forth his son. And remember, we've talked about this on Sunday mornings not too long ago. Don't think in our American Western view of sonship We think the Son is less than the Father in the West, in America, and in the Western world. Not true in the Eastern culture. When someone says, I am the Son of, you are equal to. That Son in the Orient has all the authority, all of the power, all of the position of the Father. If you walk up and say, well, I want to speak to your Father, in the Orient, they don't care about that. If you're speaking to the Son, it's as though you're speaking to the Father. That's why when Jesus says, I am the Son of God. That's why the Bible says they picked up stones to kill him. Because they said, he, being a human, declares himself to be God. They weren't receiving the message. You may believe in Jesus all you want. You can use his name all you want. You can even say on national television, you can say that Jesus is the most influential person of my life. But until you receive him, you can acknowledge all you want. Until you receive him, you have missed Christmas. You have missed the greatest message and the most documented event on the face of the planet. See, Jack, I hate to break the news to you, but they found our missing link this week in Africa. I love when this happens. I love it. Keep all your newspaper clippings. Right now, he's being heralded as the one. A couple of months, the real news will get out. More scientific research will be done on this poor guy that was, you know, disposed of in whatever fashion. Don't worry. God's the creator, and he's your creator. And you may be going about this life trying to find some sort of fulfillment, some sort of meaning, some sort of pleasure. And you can try all you want. You can draw longer lines of cocaine. It won't work. You can drive faster. You can buy a bigger house. You can get more digits on the end of your annual income. It's not going to work. It won't work. Until Christ, Jesus, is received into your heart. When you go from the place of acknowledgement, because you're not stupid. Until you move from acknowledgement to receiving him, you're missing out on not just a great life, a peaceful life, a meaningful life. It's not only what you're missing out on. You're missing out on the fact that heaven is yours. You can start to experience it now. You can walk in the newness of life that Jesus offers now. Not Calvary Chapel. Not Christianity. Not churchianity. Jesus. Not religion. Relationship. You can say, Jesus, for 12, maybe for you, maybe it's 30, 50 years, I've received Christmas gifts, I've acknowledged Christmas, I've never bowed my knee to you, I've never gotten, so to speak, before that tree, that ugly stick of a tree, that upright pole and that crossbar, that cross in Jerusalem, that symbol. You've never come before that real Christmas tree and made yourself a gift, a presentation unto God. Did you know that's what he wants of you? You might say, but Jack, you know what? I'm a mugger, or I'm arrogant, or I'm proud. He can't want me. I've sinned too great. I've been a child abuser. I've been a bank robber. I've murdered somebody. Go, make your list. Check it twice. You'll see that you were hardly ever existing in this world without being naughty, rarely ever nice. And God says, listen, I know the list. I've seen your adultery. I've seen your cheating on your income tax. I was there the whole time. I know all about it. I know your shady business dealings. That's dealings and billings in one shot. God says, I know. And every moment you live your life in this earth, there's a weight in heaven, that a record being stacked up against you. And if you die without accepting the gift, you'll perish. It's just like those deck stewards, or I forget what you call them, a person that assists you on a cruise. Who are those people? Stewards, I guess, aren't they? You can tell how many cruises I've been on. As the Titanic was sinking, they're invading compartments and putting gold and diamonds and stuff into their pockets, robbing people while the ship is going down. They're loading themselves up with money and jewels from all of these wealthy people's cabins, and then jumped overboard and went straight to the bottom because of the weight of all that wealth. Fools! Jesus says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Simeon, this old man, what a strange moment this is. It's the eighth day since Jesus' birth. On the eighth day, he's going to be circumcised. They come to present him before, as it says, according to the custom of the law. And there's Simeon. God had spoken to him and said, you're not going to die until you see my salvation. He must have been an old guy. People were probably wondering, when are you going to die? I've been telling you. The Lord told me I'm not going to die until I see His salvation. Oh, you old man, you're crazy. You'll see. And Joseph and Mary come. And there he picks up Jesus, little baby, 8-day-old Jesus. And he pronounces this blessing. Oh, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. You know he was praying, oh Lord, now that I've seen him, kill me dead. I'm ready to go. And he turns to Mary, probably placing Jesus back into her arms, and says, this child. It is determined. Now, this child shall be for the rise and fall of many in Israel. What does that mean? The rise and fall. Behold, this child, he says, is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Did you hear that, everyone? Let's take the latter end first. A sign which shall be spoken against? Is Jesus spoken against in this world, or what? You want to get in trouble? Mention the name Jesus. He says this child is destined. Because of this child, he is saying, by reason of this child, this is going to be true in your life. Remember this night. This will be true in your life. It will visit your ears again someday, that God will remind you. It was determined that you should hear about Jesus. It is destined concerning you that either Christ in your life will be for the rising of your life or for the fall. If you're wondering, what do those words really mean? The Greek word here for fall is the word to crash completely, to have an absolute downfall, to go completely bankrupt, to be totally destroyed. This child is destined concerning people in Israel and the world for that matter, that because of him, this baby, people will be completely destroyed. Or he will be responsible and he'll be the one by which many arise. And that word is in the Greek, and you'll recognize it, Anastasis, or the name Anastasia, the resurrection. What a strange thing to say. But what an accurate thing to say. According to the Bible, sin has slain us spiritually. The Bible says, don't be offended at this, it's true, and you, deep down inside, you and I know this, that we are all born spiritually dead. Colossians chapter 2, the Bible says there, and you and I being dead in our trespasses and sins. You know what trespasses are? Trespasses. Sins is when you miss doing what is right. You miss it. You could try really hard even and try to hit it, but you miss it. Trespasses is if any of you have children, you know what I'm talking about. You draw the line on the carpet or something. You say, don't cross that line. And they walk right over to it and they put their foot right over it and they look right at you and they put their hand on their hip. That's a transgression. It's to be told what not to do and just go do that thing. The Bible says we're dead because of that. And the uncircumcision of our flesh, He, Jesus, has made us alive together, having forgiven us all of our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that were against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it, that is that which was against us, to His cross. Ephesians 2, verse 4 says, because of His great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Jesus Christ, even while we were dead in our sins. It is by God's grace that we have been saved. God has raised us up together with Christ and has seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Resurrection. You see, baby Jesus tonight is not just that little one by symbolism that sits in your nativity scene at home. The Bible says right now in heaven, we can even jump into eternity if we were to turn several hundred pages to the end of our Bible at this point from Luke's Gospel, we would read about what's taking place at this moment in heaven. And the Bible says that there is there the Son of God seated at the right hand of the Father, and the angels are bowing down in worship unto Him. And the Bible says that His face is white like snow, His beard and all, it's incredibly brilliant, and that there is this incredible presence of God and of Jesus Christ there. Baby Jesus. Yeah, listen, you know all about Him, but have you ever accepted Him? I said, no. Listen, Jesus said that you are either for me or you are against me. Now, none of us will like this. But the words that He used, this is God. He is speaking. He's walking on earth, God in human flesh. He says, you're either completely, absolutely, without any variation, voting for me in the present tense. Voting for me, or if you are not voting for me, then you are voting against me. Wow. Jesus says, whoever gathers with me is with me, but whoever is against me is one who scatters. The word gather means to convene or to congregate as a lifestyle. To scatter means to push away, to reject. Man, this, you know, Christmas is getting really all about Jesus. Oh, don't push Him away. Don't do that. It's not just another Christmas. If you do not vote for Him tonight, if you, which you might try in our, we do this as humans, I'm gonna abstain tonight. I'm gonna file an absentee ballot vote, you know. Can't do it. You're either for Him or against Him. I'm gonna be neutral. Can't do it. Isn't it radical? He either says, stand up if you're for me, or sit down if you're against me. Hmm. there's no need for me tonight to challenge you to say, you know, Christian, you know, if you're for Christ, stand up. That wouldn't prove anything, because the Bible says that even among the family of God, there are those who are not real. And they look so real that we can't discern who's real and who's fake. You can be so religious and miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance from your head to your heart. You got all the answers, but you have no life in your heart. Is this going to be a Merry Christmas for you? That's your choice. It's going to be for me. Why? Because I know the one who is the reason for the what? Yeah. I am not going to traffic the malls or the streets or buy gift paper or whatever without being able, at the drop of a hat, to say, I know the reason why I'm doing this. Everyone in the mall, snap out of it. It's Jesus. Oh, yeah. Cool. It's Jesus. Christian, tonight, tomorrow, the day after, I guess, the day after that, we ought to go nuts. We ought to go nuts for God every day. This morning, in the morning prayer meeting, a dear brother prayed that Christmas, really, for the Christians, no special day, Lord, he prayed. Every day for us is a Christmas day. Isn't that true? Man, I tell you, it's true. I don't know if you're walking the fence or playing a Christian game in your life. I don't know. But isn't, I mean, if you're walking with him every day, it's like, wow. You know him. Are you accepting him? Now, I know most of you in this room, and you've accepted Jesus Christ. And you say, well, you know, you brought up two topics tonight, religion and politics, things that I keep very private and I don't discuss those things publicly whatsoever. Yeah, one is a waste of time and the other one is life. My friend, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? The Bible says that these things were written that you might know that you have eternal life. How can we be so sure? Because he was born in Bethlehem, lived in Judea, performed all that the prophets said he would, including going to the cross and dying for our sins. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And the world has been freaked out ever since. It only gets better, though. It says he'll come back. He's coming back. Oh, you must be crazy, you old man. You'll wait and see. This child is destined for the rise and fall. Jesus said, broad is the way, and many are on that path that leads to hell. But narrow is the way, and few there are who are on the path that leads to heaven. Few there be that find it. That's a startling verse, don't you think? Tonight, you ought to dive under the tree with a bow stuck in your mouth and say, Jesus, I'm yours. Happy birthday. It's me you get. All of my goofiness, all of my blundering, all of my nincompoopness. You've asked me to come. I come just as I am, a sinner. And you've asked me to come and bring my sins. And you'll give me eternal life. We're all done. I hope something tonight, I got to tell you, I hope something tonight made some sort of an impact on you if you're visiting. Maybe you're visiting. I have friends who are ministers. And Christmas service is the great time to pass the plate. Because usually it's a full house, you know, and people are in a religious mood. So they're going to give God his $1.75 for the year, you know. Did you notice tonight there was no plate offered? We didn't even charge for that wonderful music you heard. That was great stuff. And if we don't see you until Easter, you'll notice that we won't pass a plate at Easter either. You want to know why? Because we don't want you to be distracted from the truth. The truth is, it's all about you and Jesus. Have you settled the account with him? This child is destined for the rising and for the falling of many. What will it be in your life? Literally, eternally, the choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, we come before you tonight and can't wait to get home, to maybe open a couple of gifts as a teaser, and then tomorrow to wake up early and dive under the tree like a fish, looking for our name on the tag. Lord, we'll be about as selfish as we can be tomorrow morning. All the while and all because you were unselfish. You left heaven. You came and you showed us the way. You gave us a book from the prophets that preceded your earthly arrival, to your apostles who walked with you, to the prophetic news that lies ahead of us, all in this book, without error, flawless, perfect. And Father, tonight, we know, first of all, has been a great investment because we came here tonight to sing to you, to give our voices and our attention as a gift to you. We love you. But Lord, we love also, we love to give gifts. And we love when people love the gift we give. And so, Lord, tonight, may you grant to the most hardened heart in this room the ability to see the intentions and the motive tonight. The love of the one maybe that's invited them. Are we who happen to be up front that our motive is this is a great time to become a Christian? Think about it. If not, what are you doing? Even celebrating, you have nothing to celebrate. What a great time to be a Christian. What a great time to become one. God knows your heart. Tonight, Jesus is all those who acknowledge me publicly, I will acknowledge before my Father which is in heaven. All those who deny me, I too will deny them in the end before my Father, which is in heaven, and all his holy angels. While heads are bowed tonight and eyes are closed, would you like to accept Jesus Christ? Would you like to receive him tonight? Would you like to vote for him for the first time publicly? I'm looking. No one else need not be looking. That's public enough. Before God tonight, can you acknowledge to him that you're a sinner and that you want his forgiveness? You want to receive his gift, Jesus Christ. If that's you tonight, if you're in here this evening, can you put your hand up? I'll acknowledge your hand. You can put it down. Just between you and the Lord. God bless you in the back. You can put your hand down. You in the back, up front. Many of that. God bless you. God bless you in the back. Anyone else? It's amazing. God bless you on the side. You can put your hand down. God is seeing your hand go up right now. Does putting my hand up save me? No. Turning to the one who is the Savior cleanses your sins away. He changes your life. He does it. You don't have to do it. He'll do it. He's real. This is not some kind of a trip I'm inviting you on. This is a work of art that the Master is about ready to spin on the potter's wheel anew. Anyone else in here tonight, you would say yes. God bless you in the very back. I see your hand. Anyone else? In the very back to my right, alongside this wall. My goodness, over here on the aisle. God bless you. Many of you. Christians, and those of you who have raised your hands, let's pray this prayer unto the Lord tonight. And I have to issue a warning. Those who do not mean this prayer, please don't pray it. It could be to your falling. But if you want Jesus Christ in your life like never before, pray this prayer out loud with us. We'll help you. Repeat this simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to save me from my sins. Wash away my guilt and free me from my past. Take control of the present and lead me through the future. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I receive you as the gift. I call out to you. I ask you to write my name in your book of life and to save me from my sins. I believe Jesus died and rose again. I give you my heart and my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, let's all stand, all of us together. Let's stand quietly for a second. I don't know where many hands went up, and I don't know if you're from out of town or in town or whatever. Doesn't matter. God knows. But if you have the time, we invite you to go to the prayer room in the hallway. There'll be Bibles there free. You get them, and on your way you go. You get your own Bible, and you start reading it in the Gospel of John. If you're local, we'd love to see you again. If you're out of town, we want to make sure that whatever town you live in, you get plugged into a Bible teaching church, a real one, not a goofball thing. You've got to be careful these days. Father, I thank you so much for these brand new baby gifts that have come to the foot of your tree tonight. And Father, we thank you that we had an opportunity yet again in a nation that is somewhat still free toward Christianity to be able to worship you publicly without fear. And Father, I pray that even the most atheistic stinker in the room tonight would go home and maybe you'd visit them in a dream and knock on their head and heart and say, hey, it's all about me. Tomorrow, If you're an unbeliever, tomorrow, think about it. And make the reasonable, logical, intelligent decision. Father, give us grace, mercy, and strength as we go and be with family and friends and traffic about. Keep us safe. Lord, we thank you that our life is held in your hands no matter what. What a great God you are. And may we worship you until the day that you come. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord one more time.